investment properties, and traditional real estate. I can professionally represent you in finding your dream home, vacation home, or even selling your current home for top dollar. If you're purchasing a new home, I can help, and the builder will pay all of the commissions, not you. We know the ins and outs when purchasing a new home. We know what builder options are priced at a great value and which are priced far too high. Call me today at 602-369-4663. That's 602-369-4663. There are trade secrets you must know about before purchasing a new home on your own. Call AIL today, 602-369-4663, or visit AILAZ.com.
Have you ever wanted to be on the radio? How about behind the camera at a TV station? Now's your chance to get the information you need about the exciting field of broadcasting. Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM brings you the Broadcaster's Career Fair Wednesday, March 18th from 10 to 2 at the East Valley Institute of Technology. The fair is open to anyone interested in a broadcast career. Radio and TV companies from across the state will be there to answer your questions. Make sure to bring your resume because you could get an on-the-spot interview. Join Money Radio from 10 to 2 on Wednesday, March 8th at the East Valley Institute of Technology.
Attention. Do you have a motorized wheelchair or scooter that needs repairs? Now there's a Medicare and private insurance benefit that may cover these repairs. You need to call the experts at the Precision Repair Network. We're the specialists in repairing all makes and models of motorized wheelchairs and scooters. Call us 24/7. We'll come to you anywhere in the United States. We'll even give you a loaner to use if necessary. And your repairs may be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. So there's little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. If your motorized wheelchair or scooter needs repairs and you don't know where to go for help, call our special hotline right now. Learn how you can get door-to-door service on your repairs at little or no cost to you. Call 800-978-4812, 800-978-4812, 800-978-4812, 800-978-4812.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC Radio. Millionaires are not a dime a dozen, but there are a heck of a lot more of them now than there were when the stock markets hit bottom in 2009. Last year, this country added nearly a half million new millionaires. Research group Spectrum says we've now got a record 10.1 million Americans whose investable income runs to seven figures. Jealous yet? Multimillionaires are also growing. 1.3 million households now worth more than $5 million, and 142,000 have a bankroll that tops $25 million. As you might imagine, a lot of these folks made their money in the technology field. Others made their riches in the stock market itself, and a few just lucky enough to pick the right lottery numbers. As you also might imagine, most of them are bullish on this U.S. economy, and most of the wealthy plan to put more of their money back into the stock market. But just in case, more than half say they're going to put some cash under the pillow for a rainy day. I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC Radio.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low-price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and healthcare experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's Facebook.com/Dr. Talk. It's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay-White and Dr. Bordinko.
Thank you for joining us on another Saturday, beautiful Saturday here in Arizona for another edition of Doctor Talk. And today is part two in the series that we're doing on colon cancer. Last week we talked a lot about how to screen for colon cancer appropriately, how those screening age limits are kind of a moving target right now, which I think is pretty interesting to a lot of listeners, and also what that initial workup and surgical workup can look like. So today we're going to expand upon the knowledge we had in that last hour and talk more about the treatment options once you're diagnosed with colon cancer and what the oncology or chemotherapy options may actually be for our listeners. So I'm here in the studio with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, and we also have Dr. Jerry Cato, who's coming back in to join us today. We'll introduce him in a few minutes. But let's revisit some of the statistics about colon cancer that we talked about last week.
So excluding skin cancers, colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer diagnosed in both men and women in the United States. The American Cancer Society's estimates for the numbers of colorectal cancer cases in the United States for 2015, which must be retro, obviously, 93,000 new cases of colon cancer and nearly 40,000 cases, new cases of rectal cancer. So that's a significant number. Overall, the lifetime risk of developing colorectal cancer is about 1 in 20 or 5%. And that risk is slightly lower in women than it is in men.
And one of the things I think is interesting about these statistics that we're reading is that the biggest growth in colon cancer, you know, cancer that is the third leading cause, so it's a big cancer in the U.S., it's growing in the under 50 age bracket. And to me, that's something I want to kind of reiterate to our listeners. I know we touched on it before, but, you know, that's just not what we think of when we think of colon cancer. We think of it's an elderly process. We don't even start screening colonoscopies till age 50, but yet we're finding this growth in that cancer segment. So I'm hoping Dr. Cato can give us some more insight on that later today as well.
And the sad thing is that, you know, more common in men, and young men aren't thinking about this. So by the time it's diagnosed in these younger people, it is more advanced, which is significantly more difficult to treat and cure. So colon cancer or colorectal cancer is the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States when men and women are considered separately, and the second leading cause of death when both sexes are combined. And it is expected to cause nearly 50,000 deaths during 2015.
So those aren't exactly bright and cheery statistics that we're talking about today. But, you know, that's why we have such a great guest, Dr. Cato, here in studio with us today to talk about some of the advances in chemotherapy. And just because you get a diagnosis of cancer doesn't mean you have to think of the gloom and doom. And we're making some great headway in the management of colon cancer, even advanced stages of colon cancer, and survivability can actually go up. So with that information there, let's go ahead and introduce Dr. Jerry Cato, who joins us again. He's been with us as a guest before. He's a local oncologist here, and he also treats colorectal cancers. And even though this is a show more on colon cancer, we're going to touch a little bit on rectal cancers as well.
So, Dr. Cato, I'm delighted to have you back. Dr. Cato is a partner with Pinnacle Oncology here in Scottsdale, and he received his undergraduate degree at Cornell, and his medical degree, gosh, that's unpronounceable, right? But he subsequently received a Master's of Public Health degree from the University of Miami and completed his residency in internal medicine in 1997 at East Carolina University School of Medicine, where he served as chief resident. His fellowship in both hematology and medical oncology was completed at the Comprehensive Cancer Center of Wake Forest University in 1999. After serving his fellowship, he joined the Maricopa County, where he was chief down there for several years, and then joined Pinnacle, where he now practices in Scottsdale. So welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the questions I think our listeners, if they listen to part one of the show and now we're leading up to, you know, the intense treatment options in part two of the colon cancer hour is, you know, does everybody need chemotherapy?
No, the answer is no. So, first of all, not all cancers are treated the same. So just because you know somebody who got a chemotherapy for a different cancer, colon cancer has their own drugs. Which it's good to know because the side effects are different. You don't lose your hair, and it's better tolerated. But with cancer, we always give them a stage. And your treatment depends on your stage. So after your surgery, you meet with your doctor, and you want to know what type of cancer it is, and then you ask them for the stage. And for colon cancer, and for most cancer, it's 1, 2, 3, and 4. So stage 1 is very early cancer, which means the cancer just started in the peripheral of the membrane of the intestine. Excellent prognosis. We do not give chemotherapy for stage 1 cancer. And I know you covered that in your first part of the show, but that's why screening is so important, because if you catch it early, your prognosis is better and your treatments are less. For stage 2, most of the patients do not require chemotherapy. There are exceptions to the rules, but now we have genomic studies that tell us whether your cancer needs chemotherapy or not.
And so those are the studies that they do on the actual surgical pathology slides that come back and give you guidance as the practicing oncologist if they're going to have good treatment outcomes from the standard colon cancer chemotherapy.
Correct. And it tells me if you don't need chemotherapy. And most patients really don't need chemotherapy. And if they do, it's not so aggressive as other staging. So stage 3 is when your cancer went from the colon and went to the nodes that surround the colon. There, chemotherapy is indicated because the lymph nodes is the way the cancer can go spread to the other parts of your body. And the most common part that colon cancer goes to is the liver. And so therefore, clinical trials have shown that by giving chemotherapy, you reduce the chances of this cancer coming back to the liver, because that's when the cancer becomes incurable, and that's when we call stage 4.
Okay.
But nowadays, even stage 4, there are some patients that can be cured as well. So we have chemotherapy now for stage 3. We do recommend that. And just because it cuts the chances of having cancer again.
And let's go back and reiterate for our listeners the difference between you're using words curable and incurable. And I feel like sometimes these are thrown around by the medical professions and we don't take the time to explain them. So what does that mean to you as an oncologist when you use those words?
Well, once you have stage 4, that means the cancer has spread. We can treat it, but we can't cure it. There are exceptions to the rules, right? There are some people that can get liver metastasis, and now we do excellent job in removing those with surgery. And they also can be cured. But incurable means the cancer has gone to other parts of your body, the lungs, the liver, and then we no longer can cure it. But we can treat it.
We can control it to a certain extent, but we know that we can't consider it curable.
Right.
So I was going to say, and so from that standpoint, though, people can live many years on. I want to make sure our listeners understand that's not the death sentence that it may sound like. So they can live many years with what we call incurable, but have good quality of life.
Absolutely. It's like having diabetes and hypertension. We can't cure it, but we can treat it.
So that's wonderful. So you don't actually have to give them a time, you know, so many years to live, even though it's in the liver. You can still sort of say that you can prolong life for
a
significant
life.
Number of years. So we are going into a break now, and you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. And we're talking about colon cancer with our oncologist, Dr. Jerry Cato. Please join the conversation by visiting us on facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk on this Saturday morning. Dr. Carrie Bordinko and myself have with us in the studio Dr. Jerry Cato, who is an oncologist, and today we're talking about colon cancer. So in the first show on colon cancer, we discussed diagnosis and the first stage in treatment, which is surgery. But today we're talking about additional therapies for colon cancer. So let's talk a little bit about radiation therapy. Why don't we do radiation therapy very often for colon cancer?
So you have to separate colon cancer from rectal cancer.
Right.
It's different and it's treated differently. So for rectal cancer, we tend to give radiation. The reason why is because they have more local recurrence. And by local recurrence, is that the cancer was originally diagnosed in the rectum can reoccur in the same area. And so the radiation helps reduce the chances of recurrence in the same area. For colon cancer, we don't have that same risk of local recurrence. We're worrying more about distance recurrence. So the cancer cells flowing and going elsewhere in part of your body, most likely the liver. And so the treatments are completely different. And usually for rectal, we tend to give the radiation and chemotherapy up front, followed by surgery. In colon cancer, we go to surgery.
So just to clarify, in breast cancer, right, most breast cancers spread via the lymphatic system, lymphatics to the lymph nodes under the arm, for instance. So we always test those to see if they're positive because we have a very good prognostic indicator then about how these patients will do. Does colon cancer spread the same way? Does it spread blood spread or does it spread lymphatic spread?
Lymphatic spread. And that's why it's important when you go to surgery that the surgeon removes the adequate number of lymph nodes to note that it hasn't spread to one of the lymph nodes because the treatment would be different.
And that's how we stage.
And that's how we stage, right? If you have a positive lymph node, then it's already stage three.
Okay.
And do you find, Dr. Cato, you know, we had Dr. Kim on the prior show, who's a colorectal surgeon who does the process of making that initial diagnosis with the surgical resection and removing the lymph nodes. Do you find that there is a discrepancy where people go to get their surgeries done on removing the lymph nodes?
Absolutely. So you want an experienced surgeon. That makes a difference because you want the right amount of lymph nodes to be removed.
So it's a fair question for our listeners who have a family member who may come down with this diagnosis or they themselves. That's a good question to ask your initial doctor when you're interviewing different physicians who are going to be part of your healthcare team.
Absolutely. You want somebody who's experienced.
So you want someone that specializes in colorectal cancer as opposed to just a general surgeon, typically?
Typically, although there
are... Although most general surgeons do a lot of colorectal, right?
Right, right. But you just want to know their experience and ensure that they're doing the right...
Okay. So another question. I know in the breast we tag those lymph nodes with a sentinel lymph node injection, either blue dye or radionuclide. Do they do the same thing in colon?
No. That has to be removed at the same time as surgery.
So finding those lymph nodes can be quite a challenge, I would imagine, if you don't know where they are, right?
No, the surgeons, it's
again, experience, right? No, you don't want me to do your current.
Everything always goes back to experience. We preach that all the time on this show. So let's go back to your level of expertise. Let's redirect back to chemotherapy. So, because that's why you took the time to come here today. So you said earlier that the chemotherapy agents that we're using in colon cancer don't cause some of those really negative side effects that we always all associate people having chemotherapy. They lose their hair, their eyebrows, they have fatigue, they can't eat. This is a less toxic form of chemotherapy overall, so better tolerated is a term I know we like to use in the medical profession. Tell us a little bit about how that patient's experience looks when they are somebody who's a candidate for chemotherapy.
So let's say that you're stage 3, the cancer has not spread outside of the colon and the lymph nodes. The standard of care is a regimen called FOLFOX. If you're older, sometimes we use a pill called Solota, but that has side effects. But with all those regimens, the biggest side effects are gastrointestinal, like diarrhea, and you do have to be on top of that because you can become dehydrated and you don't end up in the hospital. You're also concerned about your white blood cells decreasing. This is what we call neutropenia, and the white blood cells are your immune system. And if you don't have the white blood cells, then your body can't fight the regular bacteria, and you're more susceptible to infection. But some neuropathy, and that's tingling and numbness in your hands and feet. And, of course, you have to tell your oncologist about the side effects so they know what to do and how to react and make the chemotherapy experience better with less side effect.
And FOLFOX has been around now for, 2007 or 2008? I think it became, the studies were finished on it. And it's really been the standard of care nationally that most oncologists are using FOLFOX.
Correct. Although there are other available products now, there's still a Solota, which is a pill. There's also 5-FU. But I think it depends on the age, depends on the patient, and depends on how your health general and system. But there are options. The good thing about colon cancer is that we have options now. Before, we did not have a lot of options. But now, even in the metastatic setting, we have a broad spectrum of therapies, and patients are living longer and longer.
How about nausea? Is that a side effect of colon cancer chemo?
Yes.
Okay.
Nausea and vomiting can be a part of that side effect.
But we're much better at controlling that now, right?
We have good drugs to control that. We have several drugs that we never had in the past, but we can control it now, and people do very well.
And the duration of chemo. So let's say you've selected as the oncologist that this person does need to undergo, and you're picking FOLFOX as the chemo regimen that's appropriate. What does that duration of treatment look like? How many weeks or months can this patient expect to have chemotherapy?
So for FOLFOX and you're stage 3, we're going for a cure. And just in case you hear the word adjuvant, that means the treatment after your surgery, is 6 months of treatment, and it's given every 2 weeks. It's a little bit cumbersome because you have to get it for 2 days, and you need a portacath, and you have to wear a pump that takes the chemotherapy in your portacath, and it's given it every 2 weeks. But then stage 4, it's different.
And just to help our listeners understand, a portacath is an actual catheter that's placed under the skin. So cosmetically, it's not displeasing to a lot of people. And it allows a healthcare practitioner to insert drugs directly into the main venous system of our body so that you get it directly.
Correct.
So avoiding multiple sticks in peripheral veins and things, which can be very traumatic.
Yes. Yeah. And your vein can only take so much.
Yeah.
So everything I'm hearing you say that I hope our listeners are picking up on today is that there is a lot of new information out there on colon cancer, from even the treatment options of being able to get hooked up to a pump that they wear around for 2 days. You don't have to sit in a hospital room. You don't have to hopefully stay in a doctor's office. Not that we have anything against that. But this is something that they can be mobile, continue life, continue ongoing with life. And that's really important for people.
Very important.
So we're in the studio with Dr. Jerry Cato, Oncology Today here. We're talking about colon cancer, and you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. And we'll be right back after this break.
bottom of the hour, we pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Secretary of State John Kerry says he's returning to nuclear negotiations with Iran, but he says there are important gaps standing in the way of a deal.
We continue to be focused on reaching the right deal, a deal that would protect the world from the threat that a nuclear-armed Iran could pose.
With Israelis set to vote Tuesday on a new prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu has fallen behind in the latest polls. Correspondent Oren Lieberman reports Netanyahu's speech to Congress has not changed his popularity much.
Certainly wasn't a positive, at least in terms of the polls. We saw the polls before the speech, we saw them right afterwards, and there was no difference. Israelis who liked him before still liked him. Those who didn't like him still didn't like him. So there didn't seem to be any real net effect of his speech.
Nearly a dozen American aid workers who may have been exposed to the Ebola virus are being flown back to the U.S. from Africa for observation. The CDC said today that they'll be taken to hospitals equipped to handle such cases. I'm Molly Page.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. Ugh, do you have stuff to clean this disaster of a break room?
Sure, Staples has wipes, paper towels, sprays, sponges, all at a low price.
How about these floors?
Disinfectant cleaners, mops, bucket with side press wringers, and yellow wet floor signs.
Anyone know how long it takes to reheat cod?
We also have air fresheners.
I'll take a case of those.
Make on budget happen, make cleaning up happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a Lysol Wipes 3-pack for just $4.99.
Offer valid on SKU 950423 in store and online ends 314 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat-screen TV, a high-capacity, ultra-quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your health care, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We're here in the studio today talking part two of colon cancer, the treatment options that are out there for you. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, and Dr. Jerry Cato, who is educating us and hopefully educating our listeners on what currently is going on in the colon cancer world and how treatments have changed over the last couple of years, and we have some good new statistics for survivability. When we went to the break, Dr. Cato, we were talking about the length of time you need to have chemotherapy. And, of course, it does vary depending on the stage of cancer and if this is considered a curable or incurable. So without going back into those details, I know there are also some markers out there, some blood tests that are done by the oncologist that help the oncologist and the patient both understand how well their colon cancer is being addressed by the chemotherapy. And that's usually referred to as the CEA. So can you tell our listeners more about that?
So CEA is a blood test that we check for patients who have a history of colorectal cancer. And after resection, and it's curable, you have stage 1, 2, and 3, then we follow your test every 6 months. If it goes up, then it kind of gives us a warning that we have to look for recurrences. If you have stage 4, we also use the CEA to see how you're responding to therapy. If you're responding to therapy, your CEA will decrease. And, of course, if it's increasing, then that means we have to change your therapy and look for progression of disease. It's equivalent to PSA in men. I know it's controversial, but CEA is something similar to follow up patients for colorectal cancer. We don't use it for screening.
Why don't we use it for screening? I get questions by people who read in the press that there is a marker for colon cancer, and I try and explain to them it's used as a marker once you're undergoing treatment. But they always ask, so why can't we use it for screening?
False negative. In other words, you get a normal test, but yet you still have an early colon cancer. So you'll miss that early colon cancer. And some patients have false positive. It means your CEA is going to be high, but you don't have any cancer. But automatically, that produces a lot of anxiety and a lot of unneeded medical workup.
Do you know what the percentage of false negatives is? Approximately. I mean, is it 30%, 10%?
False negative?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably about 30 to 40, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when you're diagnosed with colon cancer, your CEA goes up, right?
No.
Not always.
If you have early stage, it probably is normal. It's for we look for metastatic disease.
Okay.
But if you have early, you probably have a normal CEA.
Okay. And if your CEA goes up, mm-hmm. what do you do then? Do you do imaging studies? How do you proceed?
We repeat it just to make sure it's not a lab error, and then we do CT scans to see if any cancer shows up elsewhere in your body.
Okay, so a whole body CT looking at the liver and obviously the belly and... Okay.
Correct.
And okay. then we also do, you can go ahead and jump in, correct me, we do PET scans, not just CT scans at that point, to also look for metastatic disease in the colon cancer world, correct?
In the colon cancer world, we do CT PET scan. You know, that's a big issue. Sometimes it's really hard nowadays to get PET scan.
Really?
Approved. Oh, yeah. Approved, but you need some kind of imaging study.
Okay, so based on insurance, which we kind of like to go head on against insurance issues on this program, so based on what your insurance will cover, you may or may not get a certain type of scan. But if you had to answer that question, I'm going to put you on the spot medically. Which one would you want to have?
Oh, CT PET scan.
Okay, so that's the right answer.
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of insurance, let's just stay on this thought process for a second. Are the drugs that you give somebody for chemotherapy, are those always covered by insurance, or does insurance sometimes self-select or pick different ones?
No. The drugs that we use have been approved from clinical trial. There's evidence-based medicine. We follow the guidelines, and the insurance is covered. The only thing that I worry is if you're Medicare, then you have a 20% co-payment.
Mm. That's a lot of money when you do chemo.
And that is a lot of money. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But otherwise, all these drugs that we use are covered by the insurance company.
Well, that's okay. Good news.
Yeah, that is good news. So can we talk a little bit about things that we might want to do a lot, you know, as we're undergoing treatment? I mean, obviously, it's important to get as much sleep as you can under the circumstances, right? You want to be, you know, give yourself a chance to beef up your immune system and be as healthy as you can be going through this, right?
That's right.
So sleep's very important. Diet, is there anything that we should be avoiding during therapy?
So let's divide that in two parts. So while you're going chemotherapy, food is just not going to taste good.
Okay.
It's a metallic taste. It's just bland. And sometimes the food that you like, you don't want to even see. And then some foods that you don't like, you may have a craving.
Okay.
So I think while you're going through chemotherapy, just eat a well-balanced diet to keep your energy and your nutrition going. But I don't think you have to be following a strict diet. Let's get you through the chemotherapy, and then we'll deal with your diet. Now, let's talk about prevention. Is there any diet that has been shown to prevent colorectal cancer? And there's clinical trials that showed that had been done, patients with low-fat diet, but so far the clinical trials have not proven that any diet prevents colorectal cancer.
Okay.
So if diet's not contributory, why do you think we're seeing an increase in the under 50 population? What's your thought process?
So I think there's something in the environment, but also know your family history. If there's a family history of colorectal cancer in your family, you probably should be screened at an earlier age. So that's important to know your family history. And, you know, older generations don't didn't speak about cancer in their family.
So. Right. So somebody could have had it in the family. Grandma, grandpa passed away at 75. You really don't know the cause. And now we're finding out as we're getting better at understanding the genetics and the family history part, we're bringing these cancers forward and talking about them.
Yeah. I think talking and knowing your family history is important.
And I think there's quite a lot of evidence out there that, for instance, vitamin D seems to be the new magic drug that everyone's talking about, that actually maintaining a healthy vitamin D level is supposed to be protective against colon cancer, breast cancer, right? Are you...
So that's the fashion. But
yes.
You know, I remember many years ago when vitamin A was the fashion.
Yes.
And then we found out all the toxicity associated with it.
Yeah, yes. And actually if you smoke, it increases your risk for lung cancer. So everything in moderation.
Yes, okay.
And, you know, let's not – we do like to kind of hark on smoking as the culprit of all evil, but we do know that also smoking does increase all your cancers, including colon cancer across the board. And I think it's just because we really don't know what is included in that tobacco, in that cigarette. There's a lot of toxins that, like you said, that becomes an environmental exposure at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. What else can we talk about? So – other things that we should be concerned about, for instance, juicing. Everybody's into juicing. You don't have a problem with juicing if that's part of what you can get down to,
no.
to maintain your weight.
Those are fruits and vegetables. It's
okay.
Not going to hurt.
Okay, that's good. CoQ10.
There's no clinical trial to show a benefit. You know, the... Sometimes people give it for prevention of heart toxicity. Usually, the chemotherapy that we use for lung for colon
for
cancer,
colon cancer
it's been
yes.
a long day. For colon cancer, don't produce heart toxicity. You know, I'm a strong believer that when you're going through chemotherapy, the less you take, the better you tolerate things, because even natural medications have their side effects.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can do all you want to do for prevention later on after you're done with your chemotherapy. But I think during, the less you take, the better you do.
Okay. And then one more question, antioxidants. Why do we need to worry about this?
Yeah, good question. So antioxidant may diminish the side effect of chemotherapy. However, it will also diminish the efficacy of chemotherapy. And so we don't recommend antioxidant while you're getting through chemotherapy, because if you're going through chemotherapy, you don't want to diminish the efficacy. You want them to work so you don't have to deal with the cancer again. And so we don't recommend antioxidants with chemotherapy, or for that matter, radiation as well.
So the antioxidants actually protect the cancer cells. Is that right? Is that a way of thinking about it? They sort of mitigate the effect that the chemo agent is having?
That's correct.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So prevent cell death, and we're looking for cell death at that point.
For those cancer cells to die.
And the best shot you have of getting rid of this cancer is the first time it's recognized. So you want the best foot forward right out of the gate.
Great way to say it,
okay.
Yes.
So what are some things you consider antioxidants?
You know, all your antioxidant vitamins like vitamin C, although they're exception to the rules with certain chemotherapy, but that doesn't apply for colorectal cancer. But I would not go and take extra vitamins.
Just as a whole?
As a whole.
Okay. And we've talked a lot about what the chemotherapy looks like when you're going through the process and some of the changes that can be made and markers that we look at. Let's talk real quick here about what post-treatment looks like. You've stopped chemotherapy. You're in an area of remission or cure. What's the surveillance look like for that patient?
So we see the patients every 3 to 4 months for the first 2 years, and after that it's every 6 months, and we do blood tests and physical examination, and you know your body. If you know that something is not, you don't feel right, then please write it down and tell your physician so we know what to look for. But we do monitor your blood, your CEA, and do physical examination periodically.
So you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio, 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. Dr. Carrie Bordinko and myself are in the studio here with Dr. Jerry Cato, and we're talking about colon cancer, and we will be right back after the break.
driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordinko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 a.m. and 99.3 FM for Doctor Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Doctor Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Doctor Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back on this Saturday morning. Dr. Carrie Bordinko and myself are here in the studio with Dr. Jerry Cato, and we're talking about colon cancer treatment. And before we went into the break, we were talking a little bit about the follow-up and what you do as far as evaluating tumor markers and any imaging that you might do. But do you do colonoscopies as part of that follow-up? And, and if you do, how often?
Excellent question. So if you have early colon cancer, there's two places that it can reoccur. One, it's the same place that you originally had your cancer, or a distance recurrence, and that's where the CEA comes in. But the local recurrence can only be seen if you have a colonoscopy. And so the recommendation is that you have a colonoscopy 1 year after your surgery, and then if it's negative, then you can go to 2 to 3 years. And every year that passes, you can go back to 5 years and push it.
Okay. So is there an increased risk of developing a second separate colon cancer if you've had one?
Only if you have genetic predisposition to colorectal cancer.
So the polyposis syndromes and things like that.
Right, but otherwise, are rare, but otherwise, no.
Okay, so that's good. That's good.
So, Dr. Cato, we, you know, talked earlier about, well, in earlier shows, actually, we've talked about the hesitance of individuals to go and get the colonoscopy, and that's always kind of that struggle. You know, I think with the new technology on colonoscopies, as far as we have better sedation, we have better prep, because it's never the colonoscopy that's bad, it's always the prep that's bad. You know, we're coming into an era where I think we're getting more people there. But there's some other new technology out there, and I don't know if you use it in your practice, the stool DNA, which was approved in 2014. Some people call it the Mayo stool DNA, which was about 12,000 people, I think, they sampled in the clinical trials, and it led to a shedding of some of these genetic markers from the cancers, I think probably the same ones you're using when you're picking some of your chemotherapy agents. Is that something you see changing, that screening process, that colonoscopy, or is that something, a tool you might be able to utilize going forward in your treatment?
I think it's great for the future. I think it's if we can come up with other screening that you don't have to have a colonoscopy, it would help with reduce cost in medicine, and also making a patient go through a procedure that there are risk and it's uncomfortable. But so far that's new, so we really don't have a lot of experience with it. So we have to get more information and more experience.
Right. I think for all of us that sit in the situation of me as a primary care physician and you as an oncologist, and we're trying to figure out what are the screening tools that help us the most, it's new, it's innovation, we're very excited about it, but I don't think we have enough evidence to know how comfortable we are with it yet.
Yeah, that's correct. I feel the same way.
Like all new things, right? It's very often publicized very early on, and then everyone wants it, but we don't necessarily know whether it's going to be great in the long term.
That's right. But, you know, the only good publicity for colon cancer was President Reagan.
Yes.
When he had
Isn't
his colonoscopy
yes.
and showed that he cut her early.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So now we're going to join a section that we always do later in the show called the Myth versus Fact. And we're going to ask Dr. Cato, we're going to put him on the spot as we always do, with some interesting myths that are out there. And you're going to give us the real truth on this. So the first one is a low white blood cell count is a potentially serious side effect of some chemotherapy.
Absolutely. So the white blood cell is your immune system. It fights infection. And that is one of the, well, concern that I have with chemotherapy is keeping you healthy, keeping you away from the hospital, and we follow your CBC. That's the blood test that we order to look at your white blood cells. Because if your white blood cells decrease, you're more susceptible to infection. And now there's things that we can do. There's a shot that we give you after chemotherapy called Neulasta or Neupogen. And that will stimulate your bone marrow to produce white blood cells. We don't see the bad infections that we used to without those medications available. And if your white blood white cell drops, we can always prescribe antibiotics if it needed to keep you out of the hospital and keep you safe.
So that should not stop you from completing or undergoing your course of chemotherapy.
That should not stop you.
And how soon will you see a drop in the white blood count?
It takes about a week.
Oh, just a week.
It's
okay.
A week. But again, right now we use prophylactic prevention shot that prevents that from happening.
Oh, so you use that on everybody?
With certain regimens, we do have to use it. If it's a regimen that we're concerned about the white blood cells, then we have a way to prevent it.
So the next myth versus fact, chemotherapy affects people in different ways. The most common side effect is fatigue.
Fatigue is a big problem. I think it's not only the chemotherapy, but it's the stress of going through the chemotherapy, the stress of being told that you have cancer.
Mm.
That's life-changing. But the best treatment for fatigue is exercise.
Yes.
Even if it's 15 minutes, do something.
Yes.
Keep you active.
Yes, that's interesting.
Another myth versus fact that we have for you is I've been diagnosed with advanced colorectal cancer. The treatments are going to be miserable.
So chemotherapies have side effects, no doubt about that. But we can help you get through the side effects nowadays. We have excellent anti-Nash medication. We can help with the white blood cells. We can discuss the regimen that best fit your lifestyle. Some of the complications of the chemotherapy is numbness and tingling in your hands and feet, which we call neuropathy. And some of the chemotherapy for colon cancer can make that worse. If you have diabetes, then we can adjust the medication and maybe not give you those medications that can make your life miserable or worse. So we can change the regimen nowadays. The good thing now is that we do have multiple drugs for colorectal cancer, and it's not one size fits all.
Okay, another great myth is cancer survivors who smoked are more than twice as likely to die from any cause or from colon cancer during the follow-up period.
If it continues to smoke, so if you continue to smoke, you know, you're more susceptible to infection like pneumonias while you're getting your chemotherapy. Even healing from your surgery is impacted by your smoking. So it's true if you should try to quit smoking if you be diagnosed and going through your treatments.
So I'd just like to go back to something you said. So if you have diabetes, you're more likely to get the peripheral neuropathy from chemotherapy?
Correct, because diabetes in itself is
yeah.
a risk factor. And so you don't want to add a drug that is going to make it worse. So
yeah.
it's something that you discuss with your oncologist and come up with a regimen that would not destroy your quality of life.
And is all neuropathy permanent?
With chemotherapy, sometimes it's reversible, but it takes months and months and months.
Hmm.
But if you have diabetes on top of that, then it may not be.
Yeah,
and let's just take the few minutes we have. Let's talk about what peripheral neuropathy is. We've mentioned it's through different parts of the show. But can you describe it for our listeners so they understand
sure.
what we're talking
sure.
about?
It's numbness and tingling. It's like ants
walking on your body is usually in your lower extremity, in your legs, and then in your hands as well. And it can be as simple as some numbness and tingling for a couple of days, but it can be bad that you dropped objects. And you should let your doctor know, because that's a side effect that you don't want, a permanent side effect from the neuropathy.
And that would be an indication maybe to change the therapy?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Stop it.
Okay.
One other question I have for you. Are there contraindications to being on antidepressants while you're on chemotherapy?
None. Not for colorectal cancer.
Okay, so no drug interactions.
No drug interactions.
And do you commonly evaluate your patients for depression symptoms when they start with cancer?
Absolutely. And we send them to see a counselor, because this is life-changing, not only for the patient, but also for the family. And from my experience, you know, the depression, if you're early stage and just getting chemotherapy for a cure, the depression kicks in after your chemotherapy, because we keep you so busy with surgery and doctor's appointments and chemotherapy appointments and blood tests. It doesn't hit you after you're done. And, you know, we say, well, come back in 3 months. And the patient says, well, you're going to let me go?
Yeah, I know.
And that produces a lot of anxiety and depression. So, yes, I do talk to my patients about depression and anxiety and refer them appropriately.
And again, exercise helps that too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exercise helps everything. I want to also let our listeners know about some good websites that are out there for colon cancer. The Colon Cancer Alliance at www.ccalliance.org is a great resource that keeps families and individuals with colon cancer up to date on some of the newer clinical trials that are available across the country, some newer indications. Has a great support group, as we're talking about, that can really help in depression as well, to hear and talk to others who are going through that same disease process that you are. And it can also help connect you with great individuals and physicians who can help you, such as Dr. Jerry Cato, who's in with us today. So I want to make sure that you will also be able to see that on our Facebook page. We'll be posting that for a link for you to follow. And do we have any other myths for Dr. Cato today?
I think we've covered them all. I think we have.
Well, this has been a powerful 2 hours on colon cancer, what we've covered from the original screening and surgical options to helping us understand today the treatment options that are out there. We hope our listeners took a lot of good information away. And don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk for more postings and links to colon cancer facts, statistics, and websites that can help educate you. And also don't forget to like us and join the conversation on our blog page, which is drtalk.com. I never remember our blog page. It's drtalkblog.com. One of these days I will actually get that right.
I'm glad you get it wrong sometimes too.
Okay, join us next week for another show, Dr. Talk, Money Radio, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordico, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
The Money Talk you love, still on 1510 AM and now 99.3 FM.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia here, inviting you to join me for the one talk show in America designed to help you make better money moves. Get strategies and solutions to help you manage your most important financial decisions and the latest from Washington and Wall Street. It's the Ray Lucia Show, weekday mornings on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Tune in this and every Tuesday at 9 a.m. as Ray is joined by Auction Systems. Visit auctionandappraise.com for more information.
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio 1510, KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and 99.3 FM KFNN.